If you have your Bible this morning, would you open to Matthew chapter number 3? Matthew chapter number 3. If you're visiting with us today, we always begin the morning after our announcements with the scripture. We call it the morning exhortation. Sometimes the sermon before the sermon, perhaps it's called. But we just spend a few minutes to get our minds centered on the Word of God. And we have been going through the Gospel of Matthew sort of in a devotional manner. We find ourselves in chapter 3 this morning. And I want to pick up our reading in verse number 13. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, you can find one in the back of the pew. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Well, as the historical account of the life of the Lord Jesus unfolds, Matthew in this text is showing us that it's time for Jesus to come out of obscurity and it's time for him to enter into his public ministry. And much of the rest of the Gospel of Matthew is going to have to do with the works and the words of the Lord Jesus as he ministers, as he travels, as he goes from city to city, place to place, individuals to other crowds of people, all kinds of encounters that we see in the New Testament with the Lord Jesus. And the gospel is going out. He's making his way to the cross. He's ultimately going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to die for the sins of his people. And that's what Matthew is trying to tell us. And he's also showing us in his account that Jesus is the long expected one, that Jesus is in fact the Christ, that he is the Messiah. He is the one that those in Old Testament times were longing to see, were longing to have come to them. And so it is. That's Jesus. And here again, we find ourselves at the beginning of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. And really with the baptism of Christ, as some commentators have said, this text reveals to us the coronation of the king. That's what's taking place here. And just to briefly explain to you the full weight and interpretation of this passage that I've just read to you, Charles Spurgeon said it like this: "Our Lord and King is now fully before us. He has been preceded, predicted, and pointed out by John the Baptist. He has been dedicated to his work in baptism and has been anointed by the Spirit and confessed by the Father, and therefore has entered upon his royal work." Isn't that good? Just a quick explanation of the whole text. Now, with that in your thinking this morning, as we again try to draw some principles and some truths from this passage, I want to show you today some amazing lessons as it concerns God's calling and special purpose for our lives. And of course, we see this by the example of the Lord Jesus. So one thing that's pointed out here is that Jesus had a unique calling, didn't he? He was sent into the world by the Father to accomplish a specific task, a specific thing that he had to do. And like the Lord Jesus Christ, we must willfully respond to the special calling that God has laid upon our own lives. In other words, as God begins to work in the lives of his people, he shows us things that he has called us to do. He gives us certain gifts and talents and things that we are to accomplish. And we're to be the kind of people who live in compliance with that plan. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did when it was his time to enter into his public ministry. He didn't hem-haw around and try to avoid that. Jesus knew what he came to do. He knew that there was this special call upon his life to go to the cross and to die for the sins of his people, and he embraced that willingly. And again, brothers and sisters, we too must embrace the specific call that God has for us in our lives. We see that from Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. The second thing I would point out to you this morning is that like Jesus, we too must be intent on fulfilling the special calling that God has laid upon our lives. Not just that we should enter into the work of the special calling that God has for our lives, but that we would be intent on fulfilling the special work or the special calling that God has laid upon our lives. You'll notice here in verse number 14, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Now notice this. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. I like that statement. It is fitting to fulfill. You see, this was upon the mind of Jesus. Not just that he would enter into his work, but that he would be resolute in fulfilling the work that God had for him. Amen. Now, just as a side note, I want us to think about the baptism here of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus said that this was for the fulfilling of all righteousness. And I think there's two ways that we need to think about this statement from Jesus. There is an actual fulfilling of righteousness that takes place in the baptism of Jesus, but also there's a symbolic fulfilling of righteousness in the baptism of the Lord Jesus. You see here actually that Jesus is being obedient to God in the sense that he is identifying with sinners. Jesus is doing that which is necessary to fulfill righteousness. He is identifying with his people. But also symbolically, when you think of the waters of baptism, when Jesus went down in the waters and then came up out of the waters, you see at the very, very early part of the ministry of Jesus, a symbolic, prophetic foreshadowing of that which is going to come down the road. And of course, we're talking about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And you today as one who is a Christian, if you're here today as a Christian and you have been baptized by the waters of immersion, your baptism represents your union with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so we see this early on. It's almost like by the baptism of Jesus, he's showing us exactly what he's come into the world to do. He's going to go to that cross. He's going to die. He's going to be buried, put in a borrowed tomb. He's going to be raised from the dead. He's ultimately going to ascend back to the Father. And so you see the fulfilling of righteousness in the life of Jesus. He was intent on fulfilling the call that God had upon his life. Thirdly, like the Lord Jesus, he actually received this, but we must desire the affirmation from heaven as it concerns God's special calling for our lives. Amen. You'll notice here in the text again, look in verse number 16. And when Jesus was baptized, what happened? Immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Isn't that amazing that as Jesus is obedient to the calling that God has placed upon his life, here he has the affirmation from heaven. He has the special anointing of the Spirit of God, but also he is proclaimed and affirmed by the Father. And it's here where we see the coronation of Jesus as the King, in that he is affirmed by heaven. And brothers and sisters, that should be our desire as well. As we enter into the labors that God has for us, that we would desire the affirmation of God upon our lives. That our lives would be about seeking to please him and seeking to fulfill what he has called for us to do. Also, I just want to point out to you, I think it's amazing here in Matthew's gospel that the heavens are opening and God the Father is placing his stamp of approval upon Jesus. Well, if you think back in history, when was the last time before this that God had spoken from heaven? Do you remember? It was at the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Yep. And back then God spoke from heaven. And you remember that scene. The people were afraid. They fell in fear of the holiness of who God is. And here, as now we come to the New Testament, God is now not speaking by law, but now he's speaking by the gospel. Right. And he's affirming Jesus now as the only one, the one that he has put his stamp of approval on, the only one by which men must be saved. Let me just say to you today that if you're not saved, if you've never been reconciled to Almighty God, I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that the Father has put his stamp of approval on so that you could be saved. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. It's one way. And yes, I'll say to you today proudly the exclusivity of Christianity. If you don't come by the way of the cross, by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be reconciled to Almighty God. Right. The Lord Jesus Amen. Has been affirmed from heaven. Amen. Well, quickly, let me point out a couple of other things to you here. Shifting our focus from the Lord Jesus to John the Baptist. I think we can learn some lessons from him as well. Go back there to verse number 14. Look at this. Now John, he's out here doing all this baptizing. And look at what he says. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? You can see the perplexity in John the Baptist, can't you? And I think from John we see that sometimes, because John had a calling upon his life as well, and I think from him we see that sometimes we're going to encounter confusion and a lack of understanding or clarity as it concerns some of the specific details that are associated with our own calling. That's something that John, he was puzzled by this. You know, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. I'm the sinner here, not you. And again, you see John sort of affirming the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was confused. And I think that's true. As we think about our own lives and the specific calling that God has for us from John's perspective, this happens to us. I think it's something that we should learn to expect. That as you go down the road, sometimes there's going to be a lack of clarity about things. You're going to run into difficulties. You're going to have troubles. You're not going to have always a clear understanding about everything that you're supposed to do and every road you're supposed to travel. So how then does John respond to this perplexing situation? Well, there again in verse number 14, I want you to see from John that in those moments of confusion, in that moment of his own personal confusion, John became a student, didn't he? And he asked the Lord Jesus a question. He said, John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? So John is perplexed, but he's also asking questions. And like John, in our own moments of confusion, in our own moments of a lack of clarity, we need to ask questions and we need to seek answers from those perhaps who can give us wise counsel and true guidance. And ultimately, as we look for guidance, we need to seek that guidance ultimately from the Lord. That we need to seek His Word. We need to seek to hear from God. Well, lastly, also from John, we see that when the true answer came, John was submissive to that. And like John, when those answers come to us, we must submit to or consent to that which is revealed to us and forge on ahead in our calling by faith and by confident trust in the Lord. And so John, then he, meaning John, consented. He listened. He was submissive and forged on ahead in what he was supposed to do. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's my prayer today that all of us would find and embrace the particular calling that God has for our lives. I know a lot of times we think of that concept of calling, and maybe we're foolish to think that that only applies to preachers of the gospel. That's just not true. All of us have a particular calling and a purpose for our lives, and we need to find out what that is. And we need to run that race and do the special work that God has called us to do. And let's, like Jesus, let's make sure that we don't run before it's our time, or go forward before we have a sense of the Father's approval, or without that special anointing and unction that the Spirit gives us from above. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for this amazing text where we see the Lord Jesus fulfilling righteousness, and we see what's coming. We see that He is going to suffer a baptism, not just in water, but a baptism of death as He goes to the cross in time, and will die, and will be buried, and will come up out of the grave, Lord, securing salvation for His people. And so we praise You, Lord, and we thank You that in this text we see the confirmation from heaven upon the life of the Lord Jesus, and we can have confidence in placing our trust in Christ, because He is the one, Father, that You have affirmed. He is the one that You have provided. He is our righteousness. Amen. And we thank You today that You've made a provision for us in the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we, as Christians, think of Jesus' example about how He was willing when it was time for Him to engage in His calling, that He did that. And He wanted to fulfill the purposes that You had for Him. And He was resolute in doing that. Father, I pray that for our own lives. Because You've given us purpose and You've given us calling. And there's things that are on us to do for the sake of the kingdom and the sake of the gospel. And may we find that, and may we live up to that, and may we be willing, and may we pay the price and suffer whatever needs to be suffered so as to glorify You in the world. Lord, and like John, when his own calling, when he was a little perplexed and disturbed and didn't know what to do, Lord, he asked the Lord Jesus, and he got the answer, and he was submissive to that. Lord, I pray in our own lives when we encounter those moments of uncertainty and lack of clarity, Lord, that we too would be students, and that we would seek wise counsel and guidance from other brothers and sisters in Christ and from Your Word, Lord, and ultimately seek to hear from You and gain direction from You in the things that we're supposed to do. Lord, we just say today that we're so thankful to be Your children. Lord, that we can not only call you our God, but that we can intimately call you our Father. And you've given us the testimony and the witness of the Spirit that testifies to that relationship to you. And Lord, what a joy it is to know that you are Father, and that you love us, and that you care about us. Father, again, I pray today, Lord, if there are those among us who don't know that, who can't call you Father, and all that they can do is call you God, Father, I pray that you would change their position today. Amen. Lord, that no longer would they be considered a criminal in the courtroom of God and you the judge, but Father, that that image of you would change and the reality would change from you being judge to you being Father, and from them being a criminal to them being a child. And Lord, that can happen because you've made a provision. And that provision is your Son, the one that you affirmed from heaven and the one that the Spirit anointed and testified to as the one given from heaven to be salvation for sinners. We pray that someone would experience that today and have their life changed and revolutionized, Lord, by the power of the gospel. Give you glory and honor. Help us, Lord, who have experienced that, to honor you, to glorify you. We love you today and we thank you for all that you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen.